The preaching of the word is a bit shorter at a service like this, which is right for a service like Ash Wednesday. And we're not here just to hear the word, but we are here to enact and respond to it as well. And we need time for that. So, now listen to this, a briefer message tonight. The scripture that we have heard before this time of year comes from 2 Samuel, starting at chapter 11, into the beginning of chapter 12. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. When the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. So he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.'" Pray with me. Gracious God, as we come here again tonight, we hear your call to repentance and we lean on your graciousness. We thank you for calling us here and for empowering us to respond to your call. May we continue to do that well tonight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of our 40 days of fasting that we observe through the season of Lent up until the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ at Easter. We fast as Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, as the Gospels tell us. And our following Jesus in this is to be a sign of our commitment to follow Christ to his death. Ours, though, is a weak and pale following. We follow not as a sign that we can do as Jesus did. Death and resurrection, the reconciliation between God and humanity through him, are his and only his. We cannot do these things. We follow not so we can do his work, but as a sign that we are those who have come to believe and know that he is the one who can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He goes before us to do the hard work of death and resurrection, reconciliation between God and humanity, and we follow him as a sign that we know that we need him to do these things for us. And so our following is really a weak and pale following. His road is a road of perfect obedience. Ours is a following of repentance. His is a road that only the Word made flesh, whom the Creed calls God from God, light from light, true God from true God. His is a road that only divinity can make effective. And we follow being reminded of our mortality. This is Ash Wednesday. We follow life itself to his death. And as he offers life to us through his death, we follow offering repentance and accept his stronger offering with joy and thanksgiving. Our scripture lesson sets before us a clear picture of the call to repentance, which is our offering today. It is clear, but it's not completely clear at first. There is work for us to do if we are to see most clearly who this God is who calls David and through him calls us to repentance. We know this story well. David has taken what is not his. He wanted Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and so he took her. He took her and covered up his offense by using his raw power to arrange for Uriah to die in battle for the very king who had stolen from him. And so Bathsheba is now his. But the thing that David had done, the scripture says, displeased the Lord. And so God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David with a parable. There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. We have to pay attention to the almost exaggerated emotionalism of the story. A poor man who has nothing but a small lamb that he himself has raised. This little lamb has grown up with the poor man's children. He feeds it from his own table, and it drinks from his own cup. It sleeps on his chest, and he loves it like a daughter. It's almost too sweet to take, and it verges on the ridiculous. It's too endearing, and we can hardly stand it. And that is the point. That is the point. The picture is unbearably sweet, and the only thing more unbearable is the rich man who takes it, slaughters it, and eats it. If you're not destroyed by the emotionalism of the story, you've not heard it rightly. It is the very over-the-top emotionalism of the story that underscores, that emphasizes the degree to which God has come out against David. You are the man, Nathan says to David. You have taken, you have slaughtered, you have eaten. See how God has come out against David and has sided with the one whom David has wronged. The exaggerated sweetness of the family lamb only serves to show the depths of God's siding against David. Uriah, to whom David has become a thief and a murderer, has become, in God's telling through Nathan, a poor man whose only beloved lamb has been taken from him. And the sweetness of God's siding with Uriah is the sign of God's conflict with David himself. You are the man. And it is these words that strike David and, through him, strike at us from this God who calls Nathan to be prophet against us, against our sin, against our injustice, our failing, our faithlessness. We hear the words, "You are the man," spoken to us from the God who calls us to repentance just the same. But that's not all. We must see, too, that this God who has so dramatically, exaggeratedly come out against David, sided against him, has also, at the very same time, sided with him. The call to repentance is not the closing of God's relationship with David. It is the vehicle through which God has enabled its continuation. The call to repentance is not the closing of God's relationship with David. It is the vehicle through which God has enabled its continuation. This David whom God has sided against is the same David that God has just as dramatically, as exaggeratedly committed himself to. The God who has sided against David with the words, "You are the man," is at the same time the God who, in chapter 7 of our book, has sided with David forever, saying to David, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever, David." And so it is for us. As we hear through David's ears God's call to repentance, "You are the man," So we see through Jesus Christ, whom the scriptures call the Son of David, the very realization of God's promise of forever commitment to David. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of David, we just as exaggeratedly hear God's forever commitment to us. Our Ash Wednesday call to repentance is not the closing of our relationship with God. It is the vehicle for its continuation. And so let us follow with our whole hearts Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of David. Let us follow as repentant mortals the one who walks perfectly and divinely before us as the visible image of the invisible God who says to us in him, "You are the man to whom I have committed myself forever." Amen.